God is so confident in the good that he is willing to allow the enemy latitude in carrying out his evil intentions for the purpose of strengthening our communion with him, because he knows that depth of communion is necessary to live our lives in the full glory and peace that he has designed for us. Welcome to Enliven the Broken. My name is Tracy Melner, and I am your host for this weekly podcast conversation about the joy of discovering God in our own brokenness. Let's face it, friends, we all suffer from some form of brokenness, and we live in a very broken world. I personally have found God's love and his presence in my darkest places, and I've healed from my brokenness through his promises. And I want to share those stories with you in hopes that you can find the same love and healing that I have found. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm doing this podcast in response to God's call to share him with the world. So you tuning in is helping me answer that call. So thank you so very much. Let's jump in, and together let us break free from the shame of our brokenness. I had planned on having my husband on for this week's episode. I mentioned that last week. Throughout the week, God told me to do something else. As I am leaning in very heavily to the season of listening and doing what God is asking me to do, I'm going to follow his lead. I mentioned last week how I struggle with depression. And throughout that battle, I have used spiritual warfare to fight against it. And the spiritual warfare alone allowed me to get off medication completely and solely battle it with spiritual warfare. I bring that up because I want to call attention to how powerful spiritual warfare can be. I'm by no means am I bringing it up to encourage people to get off medications. That's not why I say it at all. I simply bring it up to show how powerful spiritual warfare can be. I was in a situation where I essentially was over-medicated. I was on the maximum dose of antidepressants. I was taking stimulants. I was taking sleeping pills. It was out of hand. And I have a history of addiction in my family, in my bloodline. And I knew that it was going to become a major problem if I didn't do something about it. So I had my husband witness as I flushed all of the medication down the toilet. And that may be a little dramatic, but it was a symbolic moment for me because that was the moment that I dedicated my treatment and recovery to spiritual warfare. So it was very important to me. While I was off medication for about 5 years and used spiritual warfare only, and it was extremely effective, there were times when I would feel the depression creeping back in, and my defenses had been weakened. Maybe I was lacking in the discipline that's needed to use spiritual warfare. There were times when it would creep back in, and when that would happen, I would just armor back up again and cast it out and employ the tactics that I had learned, and it was extremely effective. When we moved here to George West and I was unplugged from the church for that period of time, that was my spiritual resource. And then the financial chaos hitting on top of that was my defenses were weakened so much that the depression was just unbearable. It was very heavy, and so much so that I no longer had the strength to engage in the spiritual warfare that I was using before. So I did get back on medication last year, and I've been on it ever since. I'm not encouraging anyone to get off medication. I am simply talking about spiritual warfare and how powerful it can be. Throughout this week, I have heard a lot of stories from people that are close to me that are suffering from far worse things than depression or financial chaos. And I talk about what I'm suffering in order to hopefully help someone else. I'm certainly not sharing the things that I'm suffering from to gain pity. And I certainly don't want the things that I talk about to make anyone feel like what they're going through is not important. As I was hearing those stories throughout this week, I was hearing stories of suffering that were far worse than what I'm dealing with. And some of them are from people that are close to me that are going to be listening to this podcast. Mind you, I haven't published that first episode yet. I'm recording some of these in advance. So to hear those stories immediately after I recorded that last episode and I started to pray over it and feel that God was telling me, hey, these people could really benefit from hearing you talk about spiritual warfare. You know, prayed over it and just felt like that's what God wanted me to talk about this week. So here I am. We are going to talk about spiritual warfare, and I will share the stories of how it helped me and how I deployed it. And hopefully it can help some of you too. So first of all, if you're not familiar with what spiritual warfare is, it's essentially the same as warfare strategies that we use in the natural world. It's basically being prepared to fight, being equipped to go to battle. We're at battle every day in this world, battle for our souls. And a really good description that I heard of spiritual warfare was that spiritual warfare is leveraging everything that God promises us against everything that opposes his purpose. In the natural world, I guess what you would think of this is it's a game plan for when we go to war. What are we going to do? It's about equipping yourself to know who the enemy is, what their strengths are, what their weaknesses are, and then a battle plan on, okay, how are we going to attack the enemy? How are we going to defend ourselves against the enemy, both offensive and defensive strategies? As one of the key things about spiritual warfare is knowing who our enemy is. So if I ask the world today, who is your enemy? Christians are going to say the enemy is the devil. It's Satan, right? Our spiritual battles are real, even though we cannot see our attacker. But we have to understand who our attacker is and what his arsenal is and how he operates. So Satan was created by God, but God does not create evil. Satan was not created evil. He was a perfect angel when he was created by God, but he was given free will to choose good or evil. And unfortunately, he chose evil. He sought after the throne. He wanted the power. He wanted to be worshiped the same way that God was. And his character was opposed to everything that God does. And because of his rebellion, Satan was cast out of heaven by God. And when he was cast out, he took an arsenal of angels with him. The angels that participated in the rebellion with him were cast out with him and now have become his army of demons. So Satan, unlike God, Satan doesn't know all things. If Satan could see the future, he would never have allowed Jesus to die on the cross. He would have known that the death of Jesus would overthrow his power and provide a way for mankind to escape the bondage of sin. And he would never have allowed it, right? Satan is also not omnipotent. He's not all powerful. And he certainly is not omnipresent. He is not everywhere. He is a single spirit. He's in one place at a time. Because he can only be at one place in one time, he dispatches his host of demons throughout this world to accomplish his purpose. The thing that you need to know about demons is they cannot possess a believer. They cannot possess someone, a body that is inhabited by the Holy Spirit cannot also be inhabited by a demon. Being a believer and allowing the Holy Spirit to enter into our souls is our first line of defense. And mind you, when I say the enemy, I'm talking about Satan and his demons, because we can say, sometimes we'll say he, sometimes we'll say they, and that's what we're talking about. The enemy is Satan and his army of demons. So if the enemy is not omnipresent and he's not omnipotent, he's not omniscient, so how does he attack our mind? And I ask that because one of the most common ways that the enemy attacks us is our mind. And so how does he or how do they do that when they are not omniscient? You know, how they're not, and they're not omnipresent. And this is what's so important to remember is that they see us from the outside. They hear what we say. They see what we do. They see what we're watching. They can see our facial expressions. And it's so important that we pay attention to what we say because they can hear that. For example, in my last episode, I talked about how when I was hearing the call to do this podcast and how initially I was excited and then that all of that insecurity would float in. And I said things like, I'm not righteous enough. I can't quote scripture. I can hardly complete a sentence. And I tell you what, just saying that out loud gave the enemy power to destroy this podcast. And I laugh about that now, but just yesterday I tried to record this very episode 10 times and I just could not get it out. It's just the words weren't flowing. The arc wasn't there. I couldn't get things to connect. I kept losing my spot. And it felt like I was running into a brick wall. I knew what I wanted to say, but I could not get there. And I realized I just gave the enemy ammo to try to prevent me from doing this podcast, because that's what the enemy wants. He wants to prevent us from getting the word out. And boy, he did. He tried yesterday. He did. And I walked away a few times. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to try again tomorrow. I know what's happening here. So today I vocally denounced the enemy. I cast him out in the name of Jesus Christ. And I claimed that I was going to get God's word on record today. So here I am. So we have to remember that what we say really matters, because they are always listening. And I don't see why, if we're going to go to battle, why would I hand the enemy a loaded shotgun? That's essentially what I do when I talk about the insecurities that are in my mind out loud. There's a saying out there that says the enemy will never come through your front door. He will look for cracks in your foundation. And that is exactly how he attacks our mind. He pays attention to what's going on in our lives. He pays attention into what makes us upset. And he knows our weaknesses. He knows our temptations. And it is our job to be aware of those things. So in addition to knowing the enemy, we also have to know ourselves, right? We have to know what our weaknesses are. We have to know what our strengths are. And we have to take the responsibility to protect ourselves. Part of protecting ourselves is healing those areas that are causing those weaknesses. For example, if you have the wounds from your childhood, or if you have wounds from broken relationships that are causing you to be insecure, or maybe there's some abandonment issues that you've buried deep down inside and vowed to never feel again, the enemy knows that those are there, and that's how he will try to attack. It's the lesson of the arrows, right? As pain is inflicted on us, when an arrow is shot into our hearts, there's a decision that we make. Do we push it all the way through? Do we leave it there? Do we pull it out and leave a gaping hole in our hearts? Or do we shove it down, never to be seen again? The decisions that we make when pain is inflicted on us is so important to how we defend ourselves against the enemy. It's our responsibility to heal those broken places in our hearts. And if you were to pull one out and you left a gaping hole, you've got to fill that hole with the Holy Spirit. Because if you don't, if you leave those gaps, it leaves the door open for the enemy to come right back in. But know the enemy, know yourself, and then use the full armor of God to protect yourself. Ephesians 6 is a great scripture that talks about the full armor. We've got the belt of truth buckled around our waist, the breastplate of righteousness strapped to our chest. Our feet are firmly planted in the gospel of peace. We have a shield of faith, which will extinguish any fiery flaming arrow that's coming our way. We have the helmet of salvation on our heads and the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word. To educate ourselves and to be equipped for battle, we have to know the word of God, and we have to believe the word of God, because that is our sword. That is the one defensive weapon that we have. The Bible is the truth, and the Bible tells us exactly how to defend ourselves against the enemy. If you think about the equipment that Ephesians 6 tells you to put on, they're all very significant. The first one being the belt of truth, which is God's word. If you think about the way that Satan first attacked man, he used lies in the Garden of Eden to tempt Adam and Eve. The breastplate covers the upper body of the warrior. It protects your vital organs. The spiritual breastplate protects the righteousness of Christ in us. Then your feet, let's just think about a soldier, the soldier's shoes that were designed for war, right? Our spiritual shoes are going to enable us to stand strong and to resist the enemy that's tempting us to walk down the wrong path. Then we have the shield of faith, which protection for our whole body. It's the constant application of God's word. We have the helmet of salvation, which protects our head. It protects our minds, which is equally as important as protecting our bodies. An undisciplined mind makes the Christian warrior easy prey. Okay, so the helmet of salvation keeps our mind strong. And then we talked about the sword being the word of truth. So we have to know the word of God, believe in the word of God. The Bible tells us exactly how to defend ourselves against the enemy. And then Another key element to spiritual warfare is to know the delegated power and authority that is given to us. And if you think about authority and power, they're two different things. Let's consider a policeman. His authority comes from the position that he holds with the government, right? Unfortunately, that position is not always respected in this world. So he carries a weapon, and that weapon is his power. So your authority or our authority comes to us through Jesus Christ and our belief in him. The power that we have comes from the Holy Spirit. We have to leverage the power that God has given us. There are many times in the Bible, it says that believers have the power to cast out demons. We have the power to cast it out. One of the most powerful sermons I heard was actually a sermon about the authority that we have over our lives and how God has given us this authority and he expects us to use that authority. He is empowering us, but we have to remember that he's not going to do it for us. We have to do it. And when I heard that sermon and that told me that, I had been in a really deep depression. I was on medication at this time. And unfortunately, medication helps, but it doesn't take away the depression. And so there were times when it would get very heavy and I would have ups and downs. And I was having a really down period. It was so heavy. I was laying in bed at night and just praying that God would lift this weight off of me. It was too heavy and I couldn't bear it. And I would wake up the next morning and I would feel lighter. I would feel better. I was able to get up out of bed and start checking the boxes. When I say checking the boxes, this was something that was very important and an element of my spiritual warfare. I essentially created a list of things that I needed to do to suit up for battle every day. And some of that was, okay, first of all, I got to give myself the power. So things that I need to do to motivate myself, get out of bed, take a shower, get dressed. And then the most important thing was my daily devotional, the time I spent with God, the time in prayer. So as long as I was checking those boxes, I was doing pretty well. But it wasn't until I heard the sermon about the authority that I realized I've been asking God to lift it off of me, and he has. But what I have not been doing is using the delegated power and authority that I have to cast the demons out. I know that because I'm a believer that I was not possessed by demons, but I do know that the enemy had influence over my mind because of the thoughts I was having and the way I was feeling. And I needed to cast the enemy out. I knew the enemy was standing there. And so I did just that. I, said, in the name of Jesus Christ, I demand you to depart. You are not welcome here. And I would say that every single day or every time I would feel an intrusive thought, I would cast that thought out. You have to hold every thought captive and evaluate, is this thought serving to God or not? And if it's not, I would cast it out. And it takes willpower and it takes strength to do that, but God will give you that strength. He will. The other part of staying strong in spiritual warfare is communion with God, daily walks with God, daily talks with God, and almost like throughout the day. Just my morning devotional was not enough. I would feel great. And then a couple hours later, that depression would come right back in. I would feel it coming. I would know what it is. And I would try to hold it captive. And then I would cast it out. I would say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I demand you to depart. And then I would pray. I would go back and sit in my prayer chair and pray until I felt confident that I was safe to move on throughout my day. So spiritual warfare was essentially my way of suiting up for battle to prevent the enemy from attacking. 1 Peter 5 tells us to be alert and sober mind because the devil prowls around like a roaring lion waiting for someone to devour. And I have felt that presence before. It was just recently when my husband and I were in the depths of our struggles, and I was laying in bed at night and I just felt this presence, like right here. And I felt like it was an evil presence. And I just felt like it was waiting to pounce on me. I just felt it like it was waiting for a crack. It was just waiting for me to give it some in. And it was just, it was so strong and so surreal. And I was just like, I knew I had to cast it out. And I was laying in bed by myself at night. It was dark. And I'm pretty sure I air punched that demon and cast it out in the name of Jesus Christ, because it was certainly not welcome there. And it was certainly was not going to find a way to pounce on me at that moment. The single most important element of spiritual warfare is communion with God. His desire is to use the enemy's attacks on us to remove obstacles between ourselves and him. And sometimes it's to reestablish our dependency. Once you understand that, the warfare that we are in begins to feel totally different. It's not about Satan and his host of demons anymore. It's about communion with God and abiding in Jesus as the source of life. And doing that can turn the whole experience of a trial or a period of suffering into a devotional. God is so confident in the good that he is willing to allow the enemy latitude in carrying out his evil intentions for the purpose of strengthening our communion with him, because he knows that depth of communion is necessary to live our lives in the full glory and peace that he has designed for us. I want that level, that glory and peace for all of you that are listening today. I can tell you right now that just these last few weeks that I have completely surrendered to God's will, I have so much peace and I'm finding so much happiness in my life again. Even though we're not out of our financial struggle is not over. We don't know if it's going to continue, but the worry isn't there. I just feel peace. And like I said, I can find the joy in the daily things again, because I am walking in communion with God. There for a little while, I was determined that I needed to go back to work. I used to work in business intelligence. I was in the corporate world for 15 years, and I've been out of it for about 8 years as I've been supporting John in the brokerage. And while my role in our real estate brokerage is on the operations side, making sure the business is running efficiently, in my role, I can't generate revenue for the business. I can make sure that the business is running efficiently and that we're not spending money on things that we shouldn't. What I do doesn't directly impact the revenue. And so I was determined throughout this financial struggle, I got to go back to work. I got to do something, because again, I got to find a way to fix it. And when I applied for over 30 jobs, I don't know if y'all have heard anything about the job market, but it's very difficult just to even get a phone call back. I did get an interview, and then that quickly disappeared as they decided they were going to put a hold on hiring. Here I am sitting there thinking that this is my plan. My plan is to go get a job and bring money in to fix our financial situation. But that was not God's plan. And, you know, God kept telling me to minister somehow. And I spent a lot of time deciphering it. So while I'm doing this podcast is not going to bring revenue into my family, but I know that I am doing what God has asked me to do. And I find so much comfort in that and so much peace in that. I found a really great manual on spiritual warfare. If any of you would like to read it, I believe it was over 300 pages, but it has so much good information and scripture references. It's an intense manual on spiritual warfare. But if any of you would like to see that, just let me know. Email me at Tracy at Enliven the Broken. I'll be happy to share it with you. Just the scripture references were extremely helpful, because as I'm doing this, again, I don't have scripture memorized and I might not always get it right. So I do try to do a little bit of research before I come on here and speak, because I certainly don't want to mislead anyone. So, you know, that's why I'm just going to lean on my own stories and my own experience, and then hopefully I can find some scripture references as needed. I hope that somebody out there needed to hear this today. Just keep in mind that the enemy is always there. He's always lurking around waiting to pounce, and we have to stay strong and steadfast in our belief and in our spiritual warfare to keep those attacks at bay. And then we also have to search within our souls to see, is there any territory that the enemy currently has? So any wounds that need to be healed, any negative thoughts in your mind that you need to cast out. And so we have to do that on a daily basis.
Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to listen in. If you'd like to share your own story, if you'd like to send me a message, you can reach me on any of the social media or podcast platforms. You can also email me directly at Tracy, that's T-R-A-C-E-Y, at enliventhebroken.com. Also, if you'd like to support our show as we share God's love with listeners everywhere in the world, you can do that by going to our website at enliventhebroken.com and selecting the support button at the top left. Your generosity is greatly appreciated. Thank you so much and have a wonderful week.